good morning, everybody. Great to see you here this morning. I'm Louise. If we haven't met before, it's really nice to meet you. I'm Louise. And this is my husband. This is Garel. He needs a microphone. And we're just going to spend a little bit of time this morning. When we were praying for this morning and about the word that God was giving us to bring, we were very aware of the fact that for Nick and Rachel, this was a really significant day for them. But this is also a very significant time of transition for lots and lots of people as they move on, perhaps to new schools, into new seasons, perhaps starting school for the first time, starting new jobs, lots of different transition going along. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time this morning just reflecting, all of us together, on why we can trust God. Why is God trustworthy? Why can we trust him? And how can we trust him through that? And we really hope that there's going to be something for everybody this morning as we do that. So to start us off, we're going to use a little bit of the story of Joshua this morning, of his story. And he's going to help us as we journey through why we can trust God and look at that together. And so we need a family to help us. Come on, where are you? We need a family to come and help us to put this story together this morning. So who's going to volunteer? Come on, guys. Yeah, you're ready. Ebenezer, bring your crew up. Let's welcome them. Come on, guys. Up you come. You're going to come and help us to put this story together. Just to be aware that obviously the live stream is on this morning, so if you do come up to the front, please just be aware that you will be on the live stream. So we're going to use some of Joshua's experiences, as I said, and we would like you to just have a look at the cards down here, please. Okay, on those cards, you've got a little part of the story. We're going to look specifically at the crossing over of the River Jordan and use that to help us this morning. We wonder, as a family, if you could just piece together what order you think this is going to take place in. Now, there are eight, so you might need to have a couple in each hand. And I wonder if you could get yourselves into line so that the story is in order. Okay, so have a little look. We'll give them a couple of minutes to do that.
We've already been referred to the Joshua story already this morning. And I love the Joshua story. I spoke about it at Encounter a bit last Sunday because it is a fascinating story of after 40 years. I'm not going to give too much away because the story is coming up, but 40 years of wandering, and then significant things happen and Joshua does some amazing things and God does some amazing things as well, which we're going to touch on together. And I love it because it just shows us so much. And as I shared, as we're leading worship, as we praise, as we worship, as we encounter these things in life that we all will experience. And I love the Joshua bit because actually they crossed over, but this Jericho was still ahead of them. They still had a big fortress wall to encounter. We're not going to go into the Jericho bit necessarily, but life is all about these things that are ahead of us, and we need to learn how to journey through life one after another, battle, situation, and praise is key, and worship is key, and prayer is key, and fellowship is key. So let's see how we're doing.
We're getting there.
We're getting there?
Yeah, we needed a couple more people for a few more hands. We're getting in order. So if you start turning your cards around, guys, let's see where we're going to start with. You're going to have to hold them right up high so the people at the back can see them.
So we're going from right. You're right.
Are you the beginning?
To left.
Yep, fantastic. So we're going that way along. Okay.
Big stretching. That's it. Stretch your arms up.
Great teamwork.
That's it.
Dad's not sure.
So we just move just across, just to give a bit of space. So we think Moses dies first. And I think that is correct. Are we all agreed? It starts off in Joshua. Moses died. He looked at the promised land from a very high place, but he never stepped foot into it. And he was with the many that wandered around for 40 years, just waiting and waiting. And then Moses dies, and God immediately steps and speaks to Joshua. Ooh, that could be. I probably helped a little bit there with a
quick shuffle. Right, okay. So we start off. Yeah, with Moses. Oh, we're getting there. Brilliant. Right, okay, let's go. We can shuffle around. Well done, guys. Good job. Let's see if you're right. If not, we can have a little shuffle around. So we start off, and Moses dies, okay? And the mantle is passed over to Joshua. So you're absolutely right getting that one in there. To lead the Israelites into Canaan, the promised land. After all the years of wandering around, the time has come for them to cross the Jordan River into the land that God has promised them. So well done. That's exactly right. What happens after that, though?
Well, Joshua does send some spies into...
Come on, Mum, up you come. Jericho. Come on, up you get. Shuffle down.
So it sends two spies into Jericho and they return. And the Israelites then move and camp beside the River Jordan. So I think there's a bit of...
ascending. There we go, move down. Brilliant. So the Israelites camp beside the River Jordan for 3 days, and God instructs them to be prepared for what's ahead, for what's coming.
And then the priests do carry the Ark of the Covenant.
So Ella, nice and high, hold it right up. There we go.
And yes, the priests set foot in the River Jordan and lead the Israelites. But this is in flood season. Now you have to use your bit of imagination here. The River Jordan is quite wide anyway, but in flood season, it gets really, 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 really wide. Okay, about a mile, they say, to cross. So it's quite a distance. Imagine here, sort of camping beside the river for 3 days, hearing the sound of the water, looking out every fresh morning and seeing the river's still there. It's still pretty high. They know they've got to cross. But actually, it's not until they step foot into the River Jordan that amazing things happen.
So as soon as the priests set foot into the River Jordan, well done, fantastic, and lead the Israelites, the waters flowing downstream are cut off. Okay, well done, nice and high, that's fantastic. So the waters are actually cut off.
And lastly, we got it right, the Israelites cross on dry ground. And then as soon as they step onto the other side, the water returns to its flood stage. So you can imagine the drama of walking on dry land. Everybody, estimated about 2 million people. That's not just a short, small number. That's a lot of people to get across the River Jordan. And as soon as they stepped onto the dry land, the water carries back to flood stage.
And while they're crossing through, they collect those stones, don't they?
They do.
So stones are collected from the middle of the River Jordan as a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So well done, everybody. If you want to lie it down for us there, that's fantastic. In order, thank you very much. That's great. We're just going to have a little look at this part of the story to see what we can take away.
So we're going to look at, we can trust God because He is faithful. I think that's the next slide. Yes, there it is. He is faithful. Now, most of you know me. I've been in the church for quite a while. But how many people trust me? Put your hands up if actually I trust
Daryl. That's not many people, is it?
It gets less towards the back. Okay. A lot of the front here.
Would you trust Daryl?
Would you trust me?
He's pretty trustworthy.
I'm quite liking that, actually.
Right, come on, hands up in the air, then let's see who's going to come and help this morning.
Oh, okay.
Come on. Keep
your
hands up
in the
air. Trust
me, and you have to come forward.
Right up in the air.
The few of the hands are down now.
Right, Frank, come on then, up you come. Let's welcome Frank as he comes. Thank you very much.
Oh, excellent. I've known Frank for many, many, many years. I was in his youth group.
If Frank didn't trust you, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we, really?
We would be.
Okay. Now, Frank, in order to just really find out how much you trust Gara, we'd like you to put this blindfold on this morning. Is that all right, please? Thank you.
Now, Frank, we go back a long, long way, don't we?
Yes.
A long, long way. And you did put your hand up quite... You were one of the first to go, yes, I trust Garrel. Yes, you trust me. Okay, if you can just stand sort of turned that way. Into that.
We're going to find out just how much you do trust him.
Right. You may have seen this before, and you're probably thinking, and Frank's probably thinking, I got an idea of what might happen. I'm standing behind you, Frank, okay? You can hear my voice. I know it's on the... Let me turn this off for a minute. I'm standing behind you.
Oh, phew.
Keep your blindfold on.
We didn't check for first aiders, did we?
Keep your blindfold on. Okay. Okay, I'm now going to stand in front of you, Frank. Okay? You can hear my voice?
Yes.
I want you to do exactly the same thing, but I'm standing in front of you. You've still got to fall back.
You're not here.
You trust me, I am standing. I'm going to put the microphone down and turn my voice up.
Can everybody just confirm, is Garrel standing in front of him? Take a look.
We have an extra pair of hands.
There we go. Thanks, Giles.
Thank you, Frank. Give him a round of applause. It really was down to trust, and we really can trust God because he is faithful. Even when we hear things actually think, well, he's in front of me, but he's telling me to do something that I don't quite understand, we can trust God because he is faithful. We have an amazing bit of scripture from Joshua, and it's these verses. They'll come up on the screen. Just look at them together, and we'll read them. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you to them, the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Just think about every place Joshua was to set his foot, God would give him. And we'll see some of the amazing thing, actually, the trust that Joshua had to have to accomplish that. And then we're going to read a passage of scripture aloud. This is where you can join. Another passage of scripture will come up on the screen from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Let's read this together.
Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commandments.
So we are told in his word, actually, we imagine Joshua and all the people waking up those 3 days and seeing that river, seeing something that was impassable, something they thought was impossible. How can we cross this? They didn't have boats those days. They didn't build bridges. It was something that they knew they had to cross, but didn't look like it was possible. But God was going to do something. Things don't always make sense in our human mind. Things don't always quite logically make sense. But when God says something, this is what I love, when God says it's time. 40 years of wandering, 40 years of people waiting. I'm sure Joshua was like 40 years of one of the persons who came back originally and said, we can do this. And other people said, actually, they're big giants there. Let's not do it. Joshua was holding on to, my God can do this. 40 years of waiting and waiting and waiting. And they stand right at the brink of this river, knowing that over there, it was going to happen. They were going to step, but there was massive things in their way.
Now, I wonder, Frank, how easy was it for you to lean back when you knew that Garrel was in front of you? That's amazing, isn't it? You know, actually, we can't always see what God's doing, can we? We can't always hear. Yeah, that voice might be coming from somewhere else, and yet God is saying, go this way. But actually, he is a faithful God. We're told in his word, aren't we? You know, that he, even when we are not faithful, he is faithful. That is in his very, very nature. So we can trust him implicitly because he is faithful. What about the next one?
So moving on to, we can trust God because he is all powerful. Now, I've spoken on this before when we've done different worship things, because actually I love to think about the power of God. He is all powerful. Now, as I said earlier, actually, this is flood season, so the water was high. The water was a lot higher than it ever was. It was that flood season, and it seemed impassable. And this is different to when the Red Sea parted for the people to walk through originally, because you imagine the water piling up like right by the side. So you're walking down, you see, well, I can see the water piled up. It didn't happen the same. About 30 miles away, that's where it heaped up. And it wasn't until they stepped into the water that it implies that they were a little bit dubious because they dipped their toe. It wasn't like, right, I'm going to do it. They were like, is it going to happen? I'll dip my toe. And how many steps did it take? It doesn't say, but I would think it took quite a few steps to actually them to realize, actually, it's going down. It's going down. And what I love about this, we say Joshua led the people, but I would say that God led the people, because they carried the Ark of the Covenant where God's presence was. They say God's presence first stepped into the water, and downstream, 30 miles away, which is probably Northampton. If you think about it here, actually, can I see Northampton? I can't see Northampton from here. So actually, piling up, heaping up of the water, and God was able to do it, even when they didn't see it to start with. His power, he's able to stop the flow of water.
So let's look at some of these scriptures, shall we? So Joshua 4 tells us, "For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." That is the powerful God that we can put our trust in. Okay, Isaiah 55 tells us, I love this scripture, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Our brains just cannot compute, can they? The mighty power of God. And so when we try to make sense of things and we try to work it out for ourselves, we just can't do it. We just can't do it. And I often think God's smiling at me thinking, Louise, you have no idea. You really have no idea. Your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. We serve a mighty, mighty, all-powerful God. And we had an illustration recently which we thought was really, really beneficial, and thought we'd share it with you this morning. This is the kind of the God that we serve. And let's look at this verse from Psalm 8 to help us. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them?" And this illustration was to remind us of the majesty, the all-powerful God that we serve, but also within that, the love that he has for us, the care that he takes over every single one of his children. And so I want you to imagine we live in a mighty, mighty universe, don't we? I estimate that there are about 1 billion galaxies out there, and we live in just one of those galaxies. Our galaxy, the Milky Way. And I want you to just imagine for a moment in your mind that if our galaxy, the Milky Way, was the size of North America, okay, that in that galaxy, in North America somewhere, there would be one coffee cup, and that would be the size of our solar system in relation to the galaxy that we are in. So in our coffee cup, we have all of our planets, moon. Everything within our solar system would be one coffee cup in the whole of North America. And that's just one galaxy. Mind-blowing. And within that coffee cup, Earth would be one bubble. You know, imagine a cup of coffee. One bubble in there would be the size of Earth. That is the mighty, all-powerful God that we serve. Wow. Wow.
And we really do. We shrink God to a size that we can perhaps equate to, but actually it's so much better just to be, yeah, wow. It's like, There's no other words, and we've got an amazing dictionary that try and describe things, but we cannot describe God. We cannot estimate how grand he is. But if he's a God that breathes stars, and he knows those stars by name, and the size of things is just, and that's our God. And anyone say we can be really quite comfortable with the fact that God is all powerful, and we can trust him because the ability he's got to change things is just beyond our comprehension. And we need to right-size God. We really do. We think actually we limit God. We think, well, God, okay, he's big, he's amazing, he's powerful. But if we put all powerful, that swings it completely on another perspective. He has all power. We can trust God because he is all powerful.
So we can trust him because he's faithful. We can trust him because he is all powerful. And lastly, we can trust him because he's loving. He is a loving God. And I heard somebody speak recently, and they were talking about the fact that they'd been spending some time in a cafe and started talking to somebody that they hadn't met before. And it became very clear that they were a Christian and the person they were talking to wasn't. And the other person said, well, I don't believe in God. And the person who's a Christian said, actually, I've started now asking people, well, what kind of God don't you believe in? You know, rather than just letting it go. And this person asked the question, said, well, what kind of God don't you believe in? And the person reeled off all of these qualities and said, well, actually, I don't believe in that God either. because the perception of God can vary so much, can't it? God is not a strict teacher. Victorian teacher. God is not some floaty around there God that, you know, wants us to do whatever we want and doesn't really care. God is a loving God. He is a loving God. And we are reminded in Joshua 1 verse 9, have I not commanded you, said the Lord, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Such is his love. And in Joshua 3, verse 7, and the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. His commitment, his devotion to us, he's with us. He talks with us, instructs us, encourages us, lifts us up. That is the God that we can put our trust in, a loving God. But we're not just called to keep that love to ourselves, are we? We're called to share that love, to spread that love wherever we go. And we're going to have a go at doing something together this morning, aren't we? This is a bit of an experiment. I hope that on the way in this morning you were all given a piece of paper. Let's see a wave.
Can you please put your hands up if you don't have any paper?
Ella will come to you and give you a piece of paper. There we go. And we're going to attempt to make something this morning to remind us of our loving God. And we've got some photographs that are going to come up on the screen to help us.
But let me show you what you're going to end up making. Sorry again. This is going to get the same response here. Look what we're going to end up making. Aren't we good? Aren't we good? We have been working really hard to make this, and we're going to show you how to make a heart out of a square bit of paper. We have instructions on the screen, and I'm going to do it as well at the same time as you. I'm going to put the microphone in the stand so I can use both hands.
Thank you, Andy. Great. So start off with your paper like this, everybody. You want it like a diamond shape, okay? And then the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to fold it from bottom to top, corner to corner. Is anybody still waiting for paper? Give a wave.
So it should look something like that. If it doesn't, we've got problems if it's not quite like that. That's hopefully everyone looks something like that.
And then you're going to open it back up again. Okay,
and go the other way.
Turn it and go the other way. So you should then end up with two crease lines.
So it should, you should be able to see.
Across your square.
If you open up fresh, that's it. So you've got some excellent things going on. Well done. I can see some people who love their paper.
Okay, so you should end up with a piece of paper that's got two creases down corner to corner. Okay. Next up, you are going to fold the top corner into the center. I can see a few tongues sticking out. Concentration.
So look like that, or actually if you're doing it towards you.
And keep it there.
It's just put them up in the air. Just see how we're doing. Just have a look. Right. Just yeah, good, they're looking good. Good.
Oh,
looking
nice
good, right
as well.
At the back as well. Come on, right at the back. Oh yes, looking good. Well done.
Next step, you're going to fold the bottom corner up.
This is slightly tricky. Okay.
To touch the top line and crease it. Okay. Does that make sense? So we're going from bottom corner up to the straight line at the top. That's it. Wave it
looking
around.
Good, looking that good. Way. Yes.
Fantastic. From there, right.
Okay.
You're then going to take the bottom left corner and fold it to the top. Can you see what we've done there?
So you fold the bottom bit sort of into... Like that.
That's it.
So it was like that. Then fold it.
Folding it up.
So it's half. Anyone struggling at this point, I can come and show you a closer version. Who's a yes? I heard a yes.
So from your bottom left-hand corner, you're going to fold that up along the middle line so that there's then a point on the left. That's it, David. Hold it up high. Lovely. Yeah, Manuel, good job. Can see it up at the top. That's it, Hannah, Ivan. Brilliant. Okay, and from there, you do the other side as well. So that folds from the right along the middle line.
Starting to form a bit
Starting
of a shape,
a bit
you
like
think,
a heart.
Like. So do the same as you did on the other side, fold it in. How's everyone doing on that one? Is it looking a bit like mine?
Let's
yes,
look.
It's looking good.
Yeah. We've got some craftspeople. And from there, last bit, you need to turn it around. So have the back facing you. Okay. So have the back facing you. And then all we're going to do is just tuck in the corners. So we start with the top ones. Just tuck the corner down. Just tuck it down, yeah.
So the other side should
not
be...
Not all the way, otherwise you'll lose the top bit of your heart. So just literally the point down to the line. And then the other side. And then finally, the sides as well. So just to get rid of the points.
Like that.
No, not all the way down. Just to tuck in the points. And then when you turn it over, ta-da!
Oh, everyone's going, ah. Oh, you've created
like
your own heart. Oh. So we can trust God because God is loving. Let's read this verse together from Psalm 36, verses 5 and 7. Nice and loud. Here we go. Front to the back. Here we go.
Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Now, this that your heart today... might just be for you. It might be a reminder, something for you to take home today to remind you. Perhaps you need to be reminded today of God's faithfulness to you, that you can trust him because he's faithful. It might be a reminder to you of his all-powerful nature, mightiness, majesty. That might be what you need to be reminded of today. Or perhaps it's a reminder of his love for you, the fact that he's a loving God, that he is devoted to you, that he's committed to you, that he instructs and walks and encourages you all the way along. Or it might be that there's somebody that you know of that needs that encouragement this morning, needs that reminder, that promise. And so whatever you decide to do with your heart, perhaps you take it with you and you give it to somebody and just share a little bit of what God has spoken to you this morning.
So as we conclude together, we're going to just sing a beautiful little refrain of a song to remind us. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. And I invite the prayer ministry team to come and sort of put the front. As we do every week, there's opportunity to come forward for prayer. If you're facing something that actually you just need to get someone to pray with you, just to remind you, actually, and give you that sort of help for the week of you can trust God, the reminder of his faithfulness, of his power, of his love, then this morning you can come forward for prayer. The prayer ministry would love to pray for you just as we conclude together. So let's stand together. We're going to not sing this fast to start with. It is a faster song sometimes, but we're going to sing the chorus. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever.
Forever God is faithful.
trust you in every circumstance of life as we leave this place. Father, I pray that some of those words actually will just be embedded in our hearts and minds as we step into this week. Whatever we encounter, whatever we already know about, whatever will surprise us this week, Father God, I pray we'll remember we can trust you because you are faithful, powerful, all-powerful, and loving. So, Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can freely worship you. And Lord, I pray blessing on everybody as we leave this place. Lord, give us an amazing week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's the time concluded, everybody. We're going to carry on worship. If you still want prayer, the prayer ministry team is still here. We're going to still worship for a little while longer. Be blessed. Have a great week.